Kidding.
Hello, friends. Can you hear me?
Hi,
Hello. Yes, I'm coming through. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dan, and just like a lot of people here, I have been at Quack over this past week, and it has been a very great time, but also, as a lot of you, I'm very tired now. But that is okay, because at Quack, we had a great time looking at superheroes. And it was amazing seeing kids learning about the real and most amazing superhero, Jesus. And that was really good. But here's a question that it raised for me. What do we want out of a hero? A real hero. What would we like out of one? Well, for starters, we would like our hero to demonstrate justice, right? If there is a villain, we want a hero to come and bring the bad guy to justice. We see it in all the shows and in all of the movies. We want Batman to put the Joker in Arkham Asylum. We want the Avengers to save the world. We want the bad guy brought to justice. Now let's imagine together that there was a villain and he threw a giant boulder at Superman. Just hurled at him, and Superman, being super, kind of just pushed it away. But then he responds by throwing this villain into a state-of-the-art, high-security prison on the moon. That would be a demonstration of justice. A good demonstration of justice. The bad guy did something wrong, and he got what he deserves. But let's just say that there was, you know, a kid, an ordinary kid, who threw a rock at Superman, and then Superman threw that kid into the same high-security prison on the moon with all the other villains. Demonstration of justice, right? The kid did something wrong, he deserves a punishment, you know. That's all good and dandy, but I don't know about you guys, I feel a bit uneasy about that situation. It makes me feel flustered. So that means we want our hero, a real hero, to do more than justice. We want him to be more than just. Hero to be merciful. Imagine if Superman, though, imagine if he was only merciful and not just, the other way around. Imagine him without any justice, only mercy. Well, this would mean that all the crime and all the villains out there in the world would go unpunished. Boulders would be flying everywhere and Superman would just kind of let it slide. That's okay. Let's face it, this would be a real problem. If we wanted a superhero, we need one who can demonstrate both justice and mercy. They need to be a perfect mix of just and merciful. Now, it's fun to talk about Superman. He's pretty cool. But in the end, Superman is a comic book character, and he's not real. And I'm pretty sure most of you were aware of that. But God, on the other hand, we've been learning over Quack with the kids, and a lot of us know, we know that he is real. He's the creator of all things, and he is the loving ruler of the world. But what if God was only a God who was just, or if God was a God who was only merciful? You see, learning about God this week with the kids raised the thought, imagine if we had a God who was only just after justice. Imagine if the God who created all things was only demonstrating justice in his creation. What would this mean for us, and what would this mean for you and for me? What would it mean? Well, one of our Bible readings that we had tonight was Romans 6:23, and we heard it read out before, and that first half says, "For the wages of sin is death." God tells us in his word in the Bible that sin always leads to death. Now, at Quack this week, we got to teach the kids what sin means, and it was done in the drama really, really well. And so I'm going to give you that definition of what sin is from Quack. Now, sin is the bad things that we think and that we say, and that we do. But sin is also the good things that we don't think and say and do. Sin is us saying no to God and choosing to live life our own way and rejecting him as our ruler and king. Romans 6:23 is saying very clearly that the price we have to pay for living against God is always death. Now, what does this have to do with justice? Well, God, being the creator of the earth, made all things good and for his glory. But because of sin, God's good creation is corrupt. Humans and creation no longer get along.
Humans and each other no longer get along. And humans and God, that relationship has been severed. Humanity and God can no longer be in relationship, and we reject him. And all of this is because of sin. Sin is that no one can escape it. Romans 3, 10 to 12 tells us this. It says, there is no one righteous, no one without sin, not even one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God, all have turned away, they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. You see, God created humanity to love and to trust him, to be in a good relationship with him. But sin has gotten in the way, and now we rebel against God, and we don't seek him out on our own terms. But God cares about his creation, and he cares about his people. He cares about their relationship with him. He is perfectly just, so he must bring justice where there is sin. In the Old Testament, we see God described as a good judge in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. It says, God is the rock. His works are perfect, and in all his ways, he is just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. God is perfectly just, and he tells us that there is a price for rebelling against him. The wage of sin is death, and we can't pay that price. Remember Romans 3:10, it says that there is no one righteous. That means there is no one who is right with God by their own means. Sin has broken every single person's relationship with God, and therefore, in the end, we all deserve death. And if that's how God was all the time, if he was only just, that's where our talk would end tonight. We're all sinful, and sin leads to death because God, as a perfect judge, must punish sin. Now, there might be a few people here thinking at this point, why would you want to be a Christian? Everyone is sinful. Everyone rejects God and falls short. We can't do anything about it, and why would you want to follow a mean and angry God who just promises judgment that leads to death? You might also be thinking, are Christians all sad? It's a good thought. Are they all sad? Are they just sad all the time? Why are they attending church? Are they just scared of God? Are they scared people following this angry being in the sky? And if this version of God, one that was only wanting justice all the time, if this version of God is what Christians believed in, then I'll tell you that God isn't worth following because he sounds a bit like a bully. If this is all God is about, only justice, and there's nothing you can try and flee sin and you can never escape it, if that's how God was, then we'd all be destined to death and there would be nothing you can do about it because no one is good enough for God. See, a God who is only after justice and nothing else doesn't sound loving. He doesn't sound like a God who can level with us and understand where we are at. He just sounds mean. A God who is only just doesn't work. But on the flip side, what about a God who is only merciful? What about a God who only demonstrates mercy? See, Lamentations 3:22 says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. God is merciful, and he constantly pours out his mercy. But what if all the injustice in the world was only dealt with through mercy? No punishment, no justice. Imagine if it was just mercy all around. Well, like with Superman only showing mercy and there being boulders flying everywhere, I'm pretty sure the world would be very similar, maybe minus one or two boulders. Our justice system would be all out of whack. Criminals would be let go every single time with a, it's okay, just don't do it again. You got this. Now, if God was only merciful, then every injustice that anyone faces would go unpunished. We would never truly be free from sin because sin's price was never paid. You see, there is something positive about justice, and sometimes we miss it. You see, mercy is good, but we need justice. We can't just have mercy. I don't know about you guys, but I love watching a movie or a show on Netflix where the villain or the bad guy and whatever it is gets caught and there is justice served. It makes good content. It's a, you know, every movie where there's a bad guy, most of them, they get caught. Otherwise, season two, they get caught, or later on. The bad guys get what they deserve is the crux of a lot of TV shows and movies because it's good. It's a good thing when justice is served. Sometimes we only see justice as a negative thing. But justice can be profoundly positive. The word justice carries the meaning of putting things right, making amends, fixing what is broken. Having an only merciful God would leave things out of whack, wrong, broken. It leads to the same crimes, the same sufferings, and the same injustice being covered over, over and over again. We need a God who is not only merciful, but also just to make things right. We need a God who is perfectly just, but also perfectly merciful. And the God that we worship is. He is perfectly just, and his justice is wound up in his perfect mercy, and those two can't be separated. This takes us to point two, a God who is perfectly just and merciful. You see, God knows humanity is sinful and they can't save themselves from the rebellion against him. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one in humanity is free from sin. But remember the verse before, sin is death. There is a price to pay for sin. But the second part of the verse is where God's mercy comes into action. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God, through his mercy, offers the free gift of eternal life, the complete opposite of death. Instead, life. And how does God provide this gift? Well, he pays the price for our sin. God punishes Jesus, his perfect and righteous Son, in place of humanity, so that he can pay the price of what we all deserve. You see, God demonstrates mercy through Jesus. Even though they seem opposed, justice and mercy meet perfectly in Jesus. Sin must be paid for. The payment of sin is death. Justice must be done, but we can't save ourselves because no one is righteous. But Jesus, who is perfectly righteous, has never done anything wrong in God's sight, has never sinned, came and took the punishment for all of humanity's sin. Justice is done in Jesus through his death. He died on the cross to save humanity from sin, and Jesus rose from the dead to show his great power over death. Because of him, we can be saved. Mercy is found through Jesus. God was able to demonstrate his perfect mercy by freeing us from our sin through Jesus. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us this. It says, if we confess our sins, then he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is good news. God's mercy is outworked through his forgiveness of our sin. He shows us that through the work of Christ on the cross. And this takes us to point three. How do we respond to this? What should this lead to? Well, if this is your first time hearing this news, or maybe the fourth or fifth, something like that, I want to encourage you that God is both just and merciful. He has done justice in Jesus, and he provides mercy through Jesus. If this is one of the first times you've heard this message and you want to know more, I want to encourage you to have a chat with one of the pastors here, like Jeff, Josh, James, myself. Be encouraged by what Jesus has done for you. Be encouraged that his death has paid the price for your sin, and that eternal life, that free gift, is available. And brothers and sisters, if you've been here for a while, well, this is a call for you, for me to be more like Jesus, to show justice and mercy in our lives like Jesus does. Sometimes we're tempted to be only just, to want punishment for those who do, to want to be the judge over others. And sometimes we want to only be merciful, to let wrongs slide over and over again, to cover over where there needs to be justice. But we're called to demonstrate both justice and mercy in our lives. Well, how do we demonstrate this in our own lives? What could this look like practically? Psalm 146 helps us unpack this. It shows us how God demonstrates his mercy and how we can do the same as his hands and feet. Verse 7 starts with, "He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry." Are there any people in your lives who you know are suffering due to their race or ethnic background? Are they being manipulated or controlled? Are they struggling and suffering? Are there missionaries overseas who you are aware of that are suffering through oppression or struggling in a country that doesn't know Jesus? God, in his mercy, upholds their cause, and we are called to do the same through any way that we can, praying for them, providing for them financially, supporting them. Do you know anyone who is hungry? We are God's hands and feet, and he is at work in us and through us to do his work. So I live next to Parramatta, and sometimes when I go to Newtown on the train, I walk through Parramatta Station, and I see people who are hungry. People who need support and need generosity, no matter where they've come from or what situation they are in, we are called to provide mercy for people in need. We can give them food and support them. James chapter 2, verse 15 to 16 says, "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" God calls us to be his hands and feet, not just to talk the talk. We've got to walk the walk. Don't just wish people well, treat them well with the same love and mercy that God shows us. The passage goes on, "The Lord sets prisoners free." God frees the prisoner of war, those who are captured for fighting for their country. God frees the persecuted Christians from being held captive. We can love and support those who are in these situations. We can pray for those who are being persecuted. We can pray for our missionaries that they wouldn't lose heart in the face of persecution. God cares for justice to those who are imprisoned in this way, and we should care for that too. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Our world is broken, and there is sickness, and our bodies break down, and they don't work the way that they're supposed to. Do you know anyone who needs support, who physically is unable and needs support? Someone who needs a hand in their home, a hand getting the shopping, a hand to hold while praying. If there are people in your lives who you know need support, follow Jesus' footsteps. Pray for them. Pray with them. Go to them and demonstrate love and mercy. It goes on, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down." It's very easy to judge someone else's situation. It's very easy to cast judgment on someone who is suffering because we've been through more, or they wouldn't even understand what it's like to suffer. But the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord has healing and suffering, and we are called to do the same. To sit with those who are in need and support them. Is there someone who you can sit with? Someone who you can help? Hear them, have mercy on them. If there is, reach out to them and support them. Show them Jesus. The Lord loves righteousness. Luke 41 says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank?" Our God loves righteousness. And we are called to show it in our lives and not be casting judgment on those around us. We constantly look to others. I'm not as bad as him or her or maybe that guy. But the Lord loves righteousness. Those who cling to him and flee sin. How are you seeking to be righteous for the Lord? How are you paying attention to the plank in your own eye? The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. God cares for those who are both seeking home, seeking comfort, and seeking peace. God cares for them. He watches over them as a good father does. And we are called to do the same. We are to not be stagnant. We are not to be lukewarm, just attending church on a Sunday as a Christian and then go the rest of our week not showing it to anyone. We are called to show justice and mercy to those who need it around us. Remember, we are God's hands and feet. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Again, God is just, and we are called to be just. God doesn't want wickedness to rule over this earth. God doesn't want sin to go unpunished. God doesn't want wickedness to continue. Are you at play in any wickedness in your life? Are you cultivating sin in your hearts or in your minds? Is there sin so deep within that you don't want it dealt with, that you don't want to let it out? Do you care about sin and wickedness? Well, God does, and he wants it to end. So you can pray that God would bring sin to justice. You see, our God cares about... God cares about those who are desperate for mercy. And we, brothers and sisters, as his people, well, we are called to seek out justice and desire his mercy. Micah 6 verse 8 says this, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Well, how are you going to respond? I want you to think about that for a moment. Is there someone that you can love and support? Is there someone you can buy groceries for? Is there someone you can pray for at their home? How can you personally show justice and mercy to those in your life, to those who need it, like Jesus does? Because our God is merciful and just, therefore we should seek to be merciful and just like him. Jesus is a real hero who lives and lives out justice and mercy continuously. And we should follow him and do the same. I'm going to pray for us now as we finish. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray and thank you for your son Jesus. Lord, thank you that through him, the wages of sin has been paid for through his death. Lord, we thank you that his death on the cross means that we can now have eternal life, that justice has been served, and Lord, that we of your mercy. Father, we pray now as we recognize the mercy you give us, Lord, that you would help us to seek justice and be merciful in our lives. Father, that we would love those need support. Father, that we would reach out and be your hands and feet in this world. Lord, help us to not be stagnant, but be Christians who desire to be like you. Lord, give us your spirit to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.